Right, are we ready?
Yeah!
The real reason for the invention of the Internet. TalkZone.com. Italy has fascinating culture, beautiful scenery, amazing history, and warm, friendly people. Nobody knows Italy better than the host of How to Tour Italy. Here's Anthony Capozzoli on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the How to Tour Italy show, and I just want to thank Diane Hales one more time and wish her the best of luck with the book. So let's all do everything we can to support her on May 12th and go out and buy the book as soon as it's available. And as she mentioned, you can pre-purchase it on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. And if you visit one or two or three of her websites, please do so, labellalingua.org, becomingitalian.com. And if you need a link to get to her, to all of her stuff, you can visit the How to Tour Italy .com website, and on the guidebook page, I'm going to post her book with links to purchase a book on Amazon with other links to her blogs and everything else. So she is truly wonderful and did it with all the passion and love one could possibly have for the Italian language. So let's do everything we can to support her and make sure that she finds nothing but success with this wonderful book. So with that, I do want to welcome Mr. Rich DeSilvio of The Winds of Time. He is an author that wrote a book about, quite frankly, lots of wonderful moments in history, but spends quite a bit of time talking about the Romans and how they set the foundation and have a large impact on society today, both here in the United States and elsewhere throughout the world. So with that, welcome to the show, Rich.
Hey, Anthony. How you doing? Thanks for inviting me.
My pleasure, buddy. How you doing today?
Very good. Very good.
That is wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about your book. I'm fascinated. We managed to get up and down and get you scheduled before I got my hands on the book, so I have to admit I'm going to be flying a little bit blind here, but
right.
I think that's okay, because we have you on the line, and what better person to talk about your book than you?
Well, there you go.
So what was your motivation about this, man? I mean, what got you kicked off write such a compendium here?
Yeah, well, I guess the catalyst that sparked it off was when my daughter was going off to college. As a parent, you always feel that you want your children to, you want to do the most for them and before they go out and leave the nest and the whole bit.
Sure.
And, the whole time they were growing up, there was, a lot of times they came home and you just hear a lot of the books that they have over the past several decades. The revisionists of history have really, even on a couple of your other shows, you had mentioned, how they maligned Columbus and other figures. And, it's disconcerting. And so I would say that's the thing that really sparked it off. Mm-hmm. But to preface that, I've always had a lifelong interest in history, art, architecture, music, and stuff like that there. So I think that long period of just reading hundreds of books,
sure,
laid the foundation,
yeah,
for making it happen. And so,
well, that's great. I'm excited to get my hands on it. And if it's not too thick, how many pages is it?
It's about 740 pages.
Perfect. Easy read. From here, on my flight over to Italy, I'll read the whole thing. Yeah. It'll take a little longer than that. But it sounds great, and I'm fascinated. We talked on the phone before kind of getting on the show here. We talked a little bit about some of the influence that the ancient Romans have had. And I'm dying to know, and I'm sure my audience is as well, kind of your opinion on some of the more important components or what they've contributed here to worldwide culture.
Yeah, you see, I mean, that's the whole, the other aspect of the book that, there's just too many Americans that have been misguided and deceived, not only in their classroom growing up, but also obviously by the silver screen that distorts history.
Right.
And, most people have these visions of, oh, well, the Roman Empire was, run by guys like Nero or Caligula, and, they just so happen to focus on, these deranged rulers that, yeah, they did happen to come into power, but they were forced, in Nero's case, to commit suicide.
Right.
There's only so much they were going to tolerate that.
Right.
But the truly great foundation that the Romans had upon Western civilization, that's why I've even had a couple of people ask me, why does the book focus so much on the Roman Republic and Roman Empire? Well, because they had such a huge influence on Western civilization, and particularly America. And that's one of the things I do throughout the book, is I kind of pull a lot of these facts from history that are all relevant to America, so Americans can really appreciate now, like, where a lot of this stuff came from.
I agree, I'm fascinated to kind of get your take on some of the more important contributions, because I think...
Well, to start right off the bat, the English language... Two-thirds of its words have Latin roots. Two-thirds.
Right.
so, I mean, the the language that we're speaking right now is based upon Latin, which was the Romans' language. And as you know, all the Romantic languages of Europe, Portuguese, Spanish, French, Italian, all emanated from the Romans' Latin language. So right off the top there, that's a huge
influence. And that's a pretty big one.
Yeah, that's a big one.
The language that we use.
Yeah. And
yeah.
So and, you know, any book that any English person reads, it's all, you know, it's the Roman alphabet. So, I mean, that's right off the top. And then the Roman Republic was a tremendous milestone in history. Lucius Iunius Brutus, in 509 B.C., attacked the, there was Tarquin the Proud, who was a king that they didn't like his way of ruling and suppression. And they, you know, they formulated the Roman Republic, which had three branches of government. Guess where the American government got that from?
Right.
It was composed of the Senate. They had veto power. Obviously, we know where the founders of America looked back to, you know, form their own government. So many people think that it's the Greek democracy, but it really wasn't. It was really the Roman Republic that they look back to and emulate it. Excuse me. So that's one of the major issues that a lot of people are, you know, in the dark about.
Well, those are two pretty big ones. I mean, the English language and then our form of government, those are enormous. So I'm not sure it gets any bigger than that.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, then the Roman Republic lasted for about 500 years, and then we know Julius Caesar came in and, you know, he with his egomania, he, you know, wanted to take over and destroy the Republic and just be the sole ruler.
Right.
But that only lasted 4 years.
The Ides of March, he didn't like March very much.
That's right. So he had to deal with that there, and that was the end of him. But he had a great nephew who just so happened to be Octavius, who eventually, he was just a teenager at the time, and he had to confront Mark Antony.
Right.
And the Senate, who were all vying for power, because now there was, you know, Rome without an established government at this point.
And just to add a little color to that, I mean, Octavian, I mean, who turned out to be Augustus, I think is one of the more successful foundational rulers of Rome in the history of Rome, whether it be, you know, the Empire, the Republic, whatever you want to call it. After Caesar, obviously, was assassinated, he did accomplish quite a bit. He built up Rome, and the quote is he founded a city of stone and turned it to a city of marble.
Yeah, he found it in clay and he left it in marble. And you know, again, it covers a great deal about Augustus, which you know, his building of roads. He really implemented that there on the broad scale that he did, and plus also the policies he had. You know, first of all, he didn't even want to be called emperor. He despised that title. He wanted to be called princeps, which is first among citizens. And, you know, he lived very moderately. He wasn't extravagant. And all the things that he did for the Romans and any province that they took over, the unique thing about their empire was he, you know, bequeathed to the Roman people everything that Rome had. So the luxurious baths and basilicas and marketplaces, all these facts that uplifted the standard of living, you know, he gave to all the provinces. And it's much different than, say, like the later English Empire that formed colonies that were pretty much slave states and really didn't, you know, you don't see Parliament-style Westminster Abbey buildings anywhere in any of their colonies.
Right, right. Well, you know, one of the things, too, I think about Augustus is how incredibly intelligent and successful he actually was. I mean, everyone remembers, you know, Julius Caesar and how brilliant he was, but his nephew, Octavian, Augustus, accomplished quite a bit. I mean, he defeated Mark Antony, who was, I guess, paired up because of financial reasons with Cleopatra, and he loved her, and that's a different
right.
topic altogether. But to defeat Mark Antony, who was a seasoned war veteran, who worked at the right hand of Caesar for so very long, and who understood stratagem from a military perspective to go up against, you know, Augustus Octavian, who really, at the end of the day, wasn't a military man, but he was smart enough to understand and rely on his generals, and he ultimately defeated Mark Anthony was at Actium right. in a naval battle, which was essentially the beginning of his rule that day. And I think about a year later, I think Mark Anthony and Cleopatra committed suicide, give or take. So those little things, I mean, to put that into perspective of what he did accomplish in a very short time was absolutely brilliant. And not to mention, he had to get rid of Caesarion, who was the child between Caesar and Cleopatra, and fortunately had to off him.
Right. I mean, and to emphasize that again, I mean, he was an 18-year-old little boy when all of this happened.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, he had a very short amount of time, quality time, with Julius Caesar, because he was obviously a very busy man.
Right.
So, I mean, he really was a self-taught individual. And like you say, I mean, he really was a brilliant person. That it's funny because Cicero at the time is still, even to this day, looked upon as the most brilliant, you know, Roman statesman.
Which is amazing. I disagree with that. I mean, not to get into specifics, but I disagree with that. I think.
Yeah, well, that's the historian's point of view. And again, when you see how he totally underestimated and belittled Octavian, this young little brazen boy, and then, lo and behold, he was just so cunning and so sharp and on the ball that, you know, it got to the point where Cicero now had to commit suicide because at that particular point in time, he sided with his enemy, Mark Antony, and formed a triumvirate and forced Cicero, this brilliant man who thought he was going to just, you know, use this little young boy as a tool to his own ends, and he failed.
And he failed miserably. I mean, Octavian, Augustus, outmaneuvered and outstrategized some of the more brilliant men of the age. I mean, I'd say all of them, in fact. I mean, his friend and general, Agrippa.
Right.
I mean, they really did a lot to come a long way for the empire and essentially outthink and outplay all the major players in terms of what Julius Caesar did. And I think in the Senate, they proclaimed that people that ultimately, you know, assassinated Julius Caesar, they were marked criminals. And just all this wonderful stuff that forced hands to move 25 or 30 moves ahead of time to happen so that he can gain control and win that battle at Actium. I don't think that was a mistake by any means. I think he meant it to happen exactly that way.
Yeah, no, he was very calculating. You know, again, it's amazing for a young boy like that there. I mean, he was just very perceptive, and you know, he was just a great thinker, and he was a great organizer. Again, which I point out in the book, he started off, you know, doing the dirty things that he had to do to wrest control from Antony, as well as the Republican senators that had gone way off the deep end with being greedy and decadent. And, you know, he was just amazing. And then once he did get control, he really became a very organized person. He organized the whole government.
Mm-hmm.
And he set up, he established the police force and firefighting forces, which never existed before.
Right.
He introduced that. So, you know, and he did many other things that people were just, like, shocked to hear. It's like, well, yeah, and that's why, you know, when you read what people said at the time, they all loved him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, he turned it into a city of marble, of course, but he also gave a lot of power back to the people and let them, they were proud to be Roman, and I think his entire term was called Pax Romana, which means the Roman peace.
Right.
So, and that's something to be said as well because of the wartime and the brutality of, you know, emperors to come. That's saying something. So ultimately, Julius Caesar won because his nephew took over and did all the right things.
Yeah, and you know what? And also, as you may know, the title Caesar was adopted, you know, many years later. The Germans used it as Kaiser.
Right, Kaiser role.
And Tsar, the Russians.
Yeah.
The Caesar. And why did they do that? It's because Augustus is the one who used that title Caesar as, you know, as being what it was. You know, if he didn't do that, you know, I also wonder just how much, you know, Caesar's name would have resounded throughout the ages. So
sure.
A lot of that is really due to, you know, Augustus you know, paying tribute to his adopted father.
Oh, indeed. And we've got about 2, maybe 3 minutes, so about 2 minutes or so to go. And I'm wondering, maybe share with the audience where to find your book, how much it costs, and a little bit about where they can find it.
Well, they could go right to thewindsoftime.com. And it's also available at major bookstores, so they can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or buy.com. And it's the suggested retail price that I believe is $45.95, but it's being sold for, I think, like $36 or $35.
That's great, and I did put a link up, or rather, I didn't put a link up. My friend Dave Olson, I work with here, put a link up on the website, TalkZone.com. So if you go to TalkZone.com, the How to Tour Elite page, the How to Tour Elite radio page, there's a link right from that to where to buy your book.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. So definitely check that out. And, you know, I would love to have you on the show again to talk about, we talked about a huge range of stuff today, I realize, so we've got limited time. But maybe next time we talk, we can kind of arrange something to be more specific or on topic and talk about the influence of the Romans, the Italians, and what they've had in world culture kind of going forward. So maybe we can arrange that for another visit on the show.
Sure.
Well, Rich, it's been wonderful talking with you, and I look forward to having you on the show again. And with that, I have to go into a break, but do you have a great day, and congratulations on the wonderful book, and I look forward to getting it in my own hands to read it myself.
All righty. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
If you love travel, imagine visiting one of the world's greatest cities and exploring it as very few ever have. Only Context Travel makes it possible. Context Travel offers in-depth walking seminars for intellectually curious travelers like you. It's your chance to experience a city as a cultural experience, unlike any traditional tour. Context Travel is a network of architects, historians, and art historians. They feature small groups of six or less, led by PhD-level scholars, with walks lasting from 3 hours to a full day. You can book a Context tour in seven great cities: New York, Paris, London, Rome, Florence, Venice, Naples, or Istanbul. Context Travel offers concierge services, art and archaeology walks, cuisine walks, shopping walks, and more. Visit us online at contexttravel.com. That's contexttravel.com. That's contexttravel.com.